This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وأدخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue on with our series on the lives of the Sahabiyat. And today we move on to another one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today we have with us Zainab bint Jahsh, radiallahu anha. Zainab bint Jahsh, radiallahu anha. And so she is Zainab bint Jahsh ibn Riyab, from the family of Banu Asad, which is a family of Quraysh. Although her father was not living in Mecca, he wasn't from Mecca. He migrated to Mecca and he settled there. And it was there that he married the mother of Zainab radiallahu anha. And her mother was basically the daughter of Abdul Muttalib, Umaymah bint Abdul Muttalib. So the aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the paternal aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the mother of Zainab bint Jahsh. So that would make Zainab the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from her mother's side. And Zainab bint Jahsh was born about 33 years before the Hijrah. Approximately 33 years before the Hijrah. She had several siblings. Among the most notable of her siblings was her brother, Abdullah ibn Jahsh. And he was a well-known companion who was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. In fact, his body was mutilated. And so the Prophet ﷺ buried him along with his uncle Hamza. Right? His uncle Hamza radiallahu an, who was the Sayyid al-Shuhada, the leader of the Shuhada. And Hamza radiallahu an, we know that even his body was mutilated. And so the Prophet ﷺ buried the two of them. The Prophet ﷺ buried Hamza with Abdullah ibn Jahsh in the same grave. He buried the two of them in the same grave. And so this was the brother of Zainab bint Jahsh. And Abdullah ibn Jahsh was married to Zainab bint Khuzaymah. We mentioned this when we covered the story of Zainab bint Khuzaymah. We mentioned how her husband was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. And this was her husband, basically. This was her husband, Abdullah ibn Jahsh. And then after he was martyred, the Prophet ﷺ married her. That was Zainab bint Khuzaymah. And then we mentioned her story, how, you know, she did not live that long. So coming back now to Zainab bint Jahsh. Her first marriage was likely before Islam. However, the name of her first husband is not really known, but it is mentioned that he had passed away sometime before the hijrah to Medina. So now she was alone at the time of the hijrah, so she accompanied her brother, Abdullah ibn Jahsh, on the hijrah to Medina. Now this is where another companion comes into the picture, and that is Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. Now who was Zayd? Zayd was a former slave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He basically became a slave as a child when one tribe attacked another, and he happened to be among the tribe that was attacked, and so they took him as a slave, and they sold him in the slave market. And so he passed down through different hands until he finally arrived in Mecca. And we're talking about the time before Islam, way before Islam. So he was sold into the slave market, and then he ended up in Mecca. And so he was bought by Hakim ibn Hizam, radiallahu anhu, by Hakim ibn Hizam. If you recall, Hakim ibn Hizam was the husband of Khawla, who was a very good friend of Khadija radiallahu anha, as well as Sauda, So Zayd was bought by Hakim ibn Hizam, who later on gifted him as a gift to his aunt Khadija, And then when Khadija radiallahu anha married the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she gifted Zayd to him. She gifted Zayd to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now Zayd was extremely fortunate to end up with the best of the best and to serve the best of mankind. After some time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to actually free Zayd from slavery. So he freed him, but he allowed him to stay with him and to continue to serve him. And it was the custom of the Arabs in Jahiliyyah to basically adopt their freed slaves and to ascribe them to themselves. So when they would free a slave, they would refer to that slave as being their son. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would call Zayd ibn Muhammad. And this is what he was known as in those days. But then after Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abolished this tradition. And this was later on in Medina. Allah abolished this tradition. Allah says in Surah Al-Ahzab, "Udu'uhum li'aba'ihim huwa aqsatu 'inda Allah. Fa illam ta'lamu aba'ahum fa ikhwanukum fid-din wa mawalikum." Allah says, "Call them by the names of their fathers." So these freed slaves of yours, do not call them your own sons, but rather call them by the names of their fathers. Allah says, it is more just in the sight of Allah, but if you do not know their fathers, then they are still your brothers in the deen, in the religion, and they are mawalikum, they are your freed slaves. So now, Zayd is referred to as Zayd ibn Haritha. Once this ayah was revealed, he would now be known as Zayd ibn Haritha. However, as we mentioned, he remained in the household of Rasulullah ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ really used to love him a lot. You know, we have many narrations in which the Prophet ﷺ would express his love for Zayd. So now when they were in Medina, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam approaches Zainab bint Jahsh and asks her to do something that she would not feel comfortable with, and that was basically a taboo in that society. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Zainab bint Jahsh to marry Zayd ibn Haritha. So here we're talking about a woman who comes from the nobility of Quraysh, and Zayd, who comes from a slave class. He comes from the class of, the lowest class in society. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do this? It is mentioned by some scholars that here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to break the barriers of discrimination and the class system that existed among the Arabs. And he wanted to start with his own family. So how did Zainab radiallahu anha, how did she react when the Prophet ﷺ told her to do this? She outright said, no, I'm not going to do it. I am not going to marry him when I come from Quraysh. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, you will marry him. So now she was in a dilemma here, right? She doesn't want to do it, but who's telling her to do it? It's none other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she said, O Messenger of Allah, let me think about it. And as they were talking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah revealed, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Allah says, it is not for a believing man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decided in a matter, to have any other choice in that matter. Whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has clearly gone far astray. So then when this verse was revealed, Zainab radiallahu anha, she said, O Messenger of Allah, I accept him as a husband. I will not disobey the Messenger of Allah, and I will marry him myself. And so there's a huge lesson in this on submitting to Allah and His Messenger. Allah revealed this ayah when Zainab initially refused to marry the one the Prophet ﷺ told her to. Even though this is something personal and she felt that she had the right to not comply by that order. But when Allah revealed this, that, you know, it is not appropriate for a believer, you know, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed and decided in a matter, it's not appropriate for a believer to have any other choice in that matter. She immediately complied. She immediately submitted and complied. And so how about us today? What right do we have for disobeying the orders of Allah and His Messenger in that which is far less than, you know, in this case of Zainab radiallahu anha? If our desires are contrary to something that Allah and His Messenger want us to do, we do what Allah and His Messenger want us to do. We don't follow our whims and our desires, but rather we follow the commands of Allah and His Messenger. You know, what excuse do we have for not submitting? Just because we don't like it? Just because it doesn't suit our hawa, our whims and desires? Just because it was inconvenient for us? You know, we have to understand that we are servants, we are slaves of Allah, and we are followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whatever we're told to do, we do it. It's not up to us to decide in that which Allah and His Messenger have decided for us. So anyways, they got married. And they both tried their best to live, you know, a happy marital life. But subhanAllah, things just did not work out. Even though when it comes to the deen, they were both from among the early Muslims, both Zainab bint Jahsh and Zayd ibn Haritha, they were both from the very, very early Muslims. And both were known for their piety, their taqwa, and their, you know, religious adherence to the deen. But perhaps because they came from different backgrounds, you know, here you have one who's coming from a noble class and the other who's coming from, you know, the lower class. Perhaps because of their backgrounds, there ended up being problems and incompatibility, and so they could not continue. Zayd radiallahu anhu, he would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining about his wife. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, he told him, fear Allah, ittaqillah, wa amsik alayka zawjak. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Zayd, fear Allah and keep your wife, you know, keep her with you. But things just could not continue on, you know, there just wasn't that compatibility, and so he was not happy with her and she wasn't happy with him. So divorce was a must, and in the end the marriage was ended after perhaps less than a year. And this actually shows us the mercy of Allah, you know, in legislating divorce. We see in this story how Islam allows divorce in cases where the husband and the wife just don't see eye to eye and there is no compatibility. Unfortunately, some Muslims today have an incorrect perception of divorce. They think that, you know, it is something that should never be done, right? Here we have an example of divorce among the most righteous Muslims in history. You know, we're talking about the best of generations. And even among them, we're talking about the best of the best. But being righteous and, you know, God-fearing does not mean you can't ever separate. You know, this is because there are other factors besides the deen when it comes to marriage. And that is personalities, personal preferences related to the dunya, related to how to live life, and so on and so forth. So anyways, the two of them were now separated. Now, while all of this was going on, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had knowledge that this marriage would fail and eventually he would end up marrying Zainab. However, he was afraid of the backlash and what the people would say. Why? There was another aspect of Arab Jahiliyyah that Allah wanted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to bring an end to. And so adopting slaves and making them your own children was normal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had adopted Zayd when he was young, and he was even known as Zayd ibn Muhammad. Later on, Allah ended this, as we mentioned, right? But since Zayd was already looked at as being the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in their society, it was not possible for him to marry his son's wife even after a divorce. It was a no-no for a man to marry the wife of his adopted son. And so all of the rules that apply between a son and his father, it applies between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his adopted son, Zayd. And one of those rules that existed in those days was that a man can never marry the wife of his adopted son. But now Allah has abolished the whole concept of, you know, adopting your son, adopting your freed slaves. So Allah wanted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to break this tradition among the Arabs. And what better way to do so than having him to break that rule himself? And so it carries more weight when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do it than if he was just to speak about it, right? But naturally, he was afraid. He was afraid, you know, what are the people going to say if I marry her now, right? And that's why he told Zayd radiallahu anhu, when Zayd came to him complaining about Zaynab, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fear Allah and keep your wife, right? So in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah. And by the way, all of this happened after the battle of Ahzab. After the battle of Ahzab. In the fifth year of the Hijrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the following ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab. إِذْ تَقُولُ لِلَّذِي أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكَ وَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Allah addresses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, and when you, O Muhammad, said to the one for whom Allah has done a favor, and you too have done a favor to him, meaning Zayd, when you said to him, keep your wife and fear Allah. وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ مَا اللَّهُ مُبْدِيهِ وَتَخْشَ النَّاسَ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَاهِ. While you concealed, you hid within yourself what Allah was eventually going to reveal. And so you were considering the people. You were fearing the people, whereas Allah was more worthy of your fear. So Allah says, you were trying to hide this matter that, you know, you're going to eventually marry her. And you were fearing the people, whereas Allah is more worthy for you to fear. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ فِي أَزْوَاجِ أَدْعِيَائِهِمْ إِذَا قَضَوْا مِنْهُنَّ وَطَرًا وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ مَفْعُولًا. Then Allah says, so when Zayd totally lost interest in keeping his wife, we gave her to you in marriage so that there would be no blame on the believers for marrying the ex-wives of their adopted sons after their divorce, and Allah's command is totally binding. Look at how straightforward these words were from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they must have been extremely heavy on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why some of the Sahaba, they would say that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to hide anything of the revelation of the Quran, he would have hid this verse. He would have hid this verse. Why? Because look at how harsh it is. Look at how it criticizes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this, in fact, is one of the proofs that the Qur'an is from Allah. This, in fact, is one of the proofs that the Qur'an is from Allah. How? Can anyone explain how? Here you have a verse criticizing Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And by the way, this is not the only verse in the Qur'an. We have several other verses where Allah criticizes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, we covered one of those verses, if you recall, in the story of Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anhuma, when they plotted that plot, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made haram for himself what Allah had made halal for him, that honey. He said, I'm never going to have that honey again. So Allah criticizes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu lak? O Prophet, why are you making haram what Allah has made halal for you? You know, just in order to please your wives. So look at how Allah would criticize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we also have that ayah in Surah Abasa, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the blind man and he frowned at him, right? So anyways, there are several ayat where Allah would criticize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do these verses prove that the Quran is from Allah? You know, if you were to be giving da'wah to a non-Muslim, you can mention a lot of different things about the Quran, how it is from Allah. And this is one of the things you can mention. Basically, if he was a false prophet who wrote the Quran himself, then why would he put verses in there that would criticize himself? You know, a false prophet, he's only going to praise himself, right? A liar who says that I am a prophet and, you know, this is a book that Allah has sent me, why on earth would he put something in there that could, you know, that basically criticizes him? It could make him lose followers, right? And so our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not hide anything of the Quran. He conveyed it to us as it was revealed, including this ayah. So now Zainab radiallahu anha, her iddah was over, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now sent for her proposal. And guess who he sends? He sends Zayd ibn Haritha. He sends Zayd ibn Haritha. So Zayd, he goes, and when he arrives, Zainab radiallahu anha was busy preparing some dough. So Zayd says that he couldn't look at her because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was now interested in marrying her. So he turned his back to her, right? And we have to understand that until now, the verses of hijab were not revealed. So if he wanted to, he could have, you know, looked at her and spoken to her directly. But, you know, this shows us his adab for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is interested in her. She is no longer his wife. I'm not going to look at her. And so he turned his back to her and he said to her, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is proposing to marry you. So obviously this came as a shock for Zainab radiallahu anha. She told him, let me think about it. I need to pray istikhara. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already received the ayah we mentioned. You know, this ayah that we mentioned, it mentions Allah saying that we have married her to you. Once Zayd was done with her, we have married her to you. Right? These are the words of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ went directly to her, because now he doesn't need anyone's permission. He has the permission of Allah. And he went to her and, you know, he proceeded to marry her. So she asked, is this how it's going to be? Without any witnesses, without any wali for the marriage. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah is the witness and Jibreel is the wali. Now, one of the major lessons we learn from the marriage of both, the marriage of Zainab to Zayd. Okay, coming back to the marriage of Zayd and Zainab, one of the major lessons we learn is how both of them had a good ending, right? Many times when we think of divorce, we think it's the end of the world. right? And many times it is because of how we're not following the deen of Allah. And we're not living lives that are pleasing to Allah. But it is a promise of Allah that whoever fears Him, whoever is fearful of Allah, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will make a way out for them. You know, you're not going to live in misery as long as, you know, you fear Allah. Allah is going to replace it with something better for you. So we see that here in the end with regards to Zainab and Zayd. Because both of them feared Allah, because both of them obeyed the Messenger of Allah, Allah made a way out for both of them, and He honored both of them. Allah honored both of them. And so, how did Allah honor them? Allah honored both of them by sending down revelation that would be recited until the last day. What greater honor could you want than that? First of all, Zainab. Allah married Zainab to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from above the seven heavens. Zawwajnakaha. We have married you to her. These are the words of Allah. And that's why Zainab bint Jahsh, she would say to the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later on, she would say to them, as a way of boasting, she would say, you were married by your families, while I was married by Allah from above the seven heavens. While I was married by Allah from above the seven heavens. As for Zayd, how did Allah honor him? He is the only companion who has been mentioned by name in the Quran. The only companion mentioned explicitly by name in the Quran. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِنْهَا. Allah mentioned him by name. Even though there were many other companions who were far better than him. Right? Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and, you know, even the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. They all have a higher status. But none of them were mentioned by name. The scholars say that the reason Allah did this was to honor Zayd. After he went through what he went through. First, he lost his status of being a son of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For years, he had the honor of being called Zayd ibn Muhammad. And then he lost that title. And then he lost the wife whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose for him. So he lost the honor of having his name attached to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah honored him by making his name to be mentioned eternally in the Quran until the last day. Now, it's also interesting to note that this marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Zainab has been a point of controversy with the kuffar, past and present. As for in the past, then the munafiqun, the hypocrites, they started spreading rumors when they heard about this marriage. You know, the exact fear of the Prophet ﷺ, he was afraid. What are the people going to say? And that's exactly what happened. The hypocrites in Medina, they started saying, how could he marry the wife of his adopted son? So then Allah revealed another ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَى أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Allah said, Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but rather he is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets, and Allah has full knowledge of everything. Allah has full knowledge of everything. So they tried to use this marriage as an attacking point against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they did it in the past, and they continue to do it in the present. You know, the enemies of Islam, the critics, these Orientalists who have studied Islam for years, these academics in these universities, who tried to undermine our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in an effort to try to show how Islam is not the true religion and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not truly the Messenger of Allah, they would attack this marriage. And it's interesting to see that there are two particular marriages that the kuffar speak about the most. The marriage of the Prophet ﷺ to Aisha radiallahu anha because of her young age, and the marriage to Zainab bint Jahsh, because they surrounded it with tales and legends and said, look at how the Prophet ﷺ had, this love affair for her. He wanted to marry her. He had this crush on her. And then, he ended up marrying her in this way. But what's interesting to see is that both of these marriages, both of them, were actually commanded by Allah. Out of all the marriages, both of them were actually commanded by Allah. In the case of Zainab radiallahu anha, we saw, it's an ayah in the Quran. In the case of Aisha radiallahu anha, when we spoke about her life, we mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ saw her in a dream. And Jibreel said, this is your wife in the dunya and in the akhirah. And the dreams of the prophets are wahi, revelation from Allah. Anyways, after the marriage, the Prophet ﷺ now marries Zainab bint Jahsh. He prepared a massive feast and invited some 300 companions for the walima. Anas radiallahu an, he mentions how the Prophet ﷺ sent him out to call everyone. So Anas says he went out and whoever he saw, he would invite them. And so the Prophet ﷺ slaughtered a sheep, and the Prophet ﷺ had not prepared a walima for any of his wives like this before. So after everyone had finished eating, they remained behind. They wanted to chill, they wanted to have a good time in the company of the Prophet ﷺ. So they ended up staying behind, chit-chatting and being in the company of the Prophet ﷺ. However, they ended up prolonging their stay into the night, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was getting uncomfortable. I mean, he just got married, and this would be his first night with his new wife. But at the same time, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the man that he was, of high character, of high manners. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin 'azim. Allah praises the Prophet ﷺ for his, high level of manners. So the Prophet ﷺ did not say anything to them, as he did not want to offend them. He remained silent. So in the end, they finally got up and left, except for three companions. They stayed behind, and they were still, chit-chatting, and, they were still there. Until Umar radiallahu anhu came, and he told them that, it's better if you guys left. It's better if you left. So after everyone left, sometime after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the following ayah. Again, this is also in Surah Al-Ahzab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتَ النَّبِيِّ إِلَّا أَنْ يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ إِلَى طَعَامٍ غَيْرَ نَاظِرِينَ إِنَاهِ وَلَكِنْ إِذَا دُعِيتُمْ فَدْخُلُوا فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثٍ. Allah says, O you who believe, do not enter the homes of the Prophet without permission, and if you are invited for a meal, do not come too early and then linger and stay behind until the meal is ready. But if you are invited, then enter on time, and once you have eaten, then go on your way, and do not stay for casual talk. And then Allah says, إِنَّ ذَٰلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِ النَّبِيَّ فَيَسْتَحْيِي مِنْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Allah says, such behavior, it was annoying to the Prophet, but he is too shy to ask you to leave. But Allah is never shy of the truth. But Allah is never shy of the truth. And so, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed on this occasion. Now, Zainab bin Jahsh radiallahu anha, she was known for her piety and her righteousness. And this was something that was attested to by Aisha radiallahu anha. Even though Aisha was her co-wife, right? But that did not prevent her from speaking highly of Zainab radiallahu anha. And this is a huge lesson for us, that even when the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had this natural jealousy that every, you know, co-wife has for her husband. But yet, you know, these women, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would not allow that to get to them. And they wouldn't allow that to come in the way of speaking the truth. So what did Aisha radiallahu anha say about Zainab? This takes us back to the story of the ifk, right? The story of the slander of Aisha radiallahu anha that we spoke about when we spoke about the life of Aisha radiallahu anha. So when those rumors were spreading, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not getting any revelation from Allah. So, you know, here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on his own. He's not being supported by any revelation from Allah. He doesn't know, are these rumors true? Or is Aisha radiallahu anha innocent? He doesn't know. So he approached some of the companions to ask them about Aisha. You know, what do you know about her? Is there anything that you have seen about her that I don't know? Anything negative? So among those who the Prophet ﷺ approached was Zainab bin Jahsh. He asked her, what do you know of Aisha? What did she say? Zainab radiallahu anha said, I am not going to say anything that my ears did not hear or my eyes did not witness. I don't know anything about her except good. So then in the end of that story, Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was narrating the story, she mentioned the names of some of those who were involved in the slander, who were spreading those rumors and that gossip. And she mentioned among them Hamna bint Jahsh. Who was Hamna bint Jahsh? She was the sister of Zainab bint Jahsh. Aisha radiallahu anha says that Hamna was involved in the slander for the sake of her sister. Basically, she saw this as an opportunity to bring Aisha down so that Zainab becomes the most beloved wife to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was because at the time, the only other wife that would rival Aisha in her love for the Prophet ﷺ was Zainab. It was Zainab. Remember in the story of Hafsa, how Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anhuma, they plotted against Zainab, right? It was Zainab bin Jahsh who was giving honey to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they got jealous, right? So the Prophet ﷺ used to love Zainab. But as we know, when we spoke about Aisha, you know, Aisha was the most beloved of his wives to him. Perhaps Zainab would come in second, right? So anyways, Aisha radiallahu anha says Zainab was the only one of his wives who rivaled my status with him. Allah saved her from that evil, from that slander, because of her piety, because of her righteousness. For she spoke only good of me. She spoke only good of me. And so Aisha radiallahu anha praises Zainab here because, you know, if you think about it, Zainab radiallahu anha, she could have easily have taken advantage of the situation and do harm to Aisha, you know, as her sister wanted, Hamna. But Aisha says that it was the taqwa of Zainab and her righteousness that prevented her from doing that. So she feared Allah. And among the things that Aisha says about Zainab, she says, I have never seen a woman better than her in her religion, and more fearful of Allah than her, and more truthful in her speech than her, and more attentive to, you know, keeping the ties of relations than her. And I have never seen a woman who used to give more than her, who was more charitable and generous than her. And she would give herself totally to the good deed that she would be doing. The only thing with her is that she had a temper. But she would soon, very soon, she would come back to her normal state. So look at how Aisha radiallahu anha praises Zainab bint Jahsh. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. And it shows us how fair and honest Aisha radiallahu anha was. Also, among the good qualities of Zainab bin Jahsh was something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam testified to. One day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said, Zainab bint Jahsh is awwahun. She is awwah. So someone, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is awwah? What does that mean? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is someone who is khashi'un mutadharri', someone who worships Allah with humility, meaning someone who is soft-hearted and prays to Allah with humility, in a state of humbleness, and someone whose heart is attached to Allah and they cry when they are praying, for example. And this is a quality that Allah praises Ibrahim alayhi salam for. Allah says, Inna Ibrahima lahalimun awwahun munib. Awwahun munib. Truly, Ibrahim was a halim. He was forbearing and he was awwahun. This trait of being humble and in a state of humility when worshipping Allah. And he was munib, ever turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zainab radiallahu anha was also known for her salah, for praying. She would pray a lot, and she would make her salah very lengthy. In Sahih al-Bukhari, it mentions that she prayed so much at night, she would pray so much that she would hang a rope between two pillars in the masjid. And then she would hold on to it when she became too tired to stand. She would hold on to it when she would become too tired to stand. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam discovered this rope, he removed it and he told her that, you know, when you become tired, you should stop praying and just sit down. You know, just take a break and sit down. But this shows us, you know, that she was on another level in terms of her ibadah. After the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zainab bint Jahsh, she did not really narrate as many ahadith as Aisha and Salama. We mentioned how they narrated many hundreds of ahadith. It's mentioned that she narrated only some 11 ahadith. Some 11 ahadith. And this could also be because she did not live on that long after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or she didn't live on as long as the other wives, right? We mentioned with regards to you know, all the other wives besides Khadija, they lived for a very long time throughout all the four khulafa. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha says, some of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ once asked him, who among us will be the first to follow you? Meaning, who among us is going to die first after you? So the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who has the longest hand. The one who has the longest hand. So she says, we started measuring our hands with a stick. And the hand of Sauda turned out to be the longest. She says, however, when Zainab bint Jahsh passed away first, we understood what the Prophet ﷺ was saying. We understood that the long hand that the Prophet ﷺ was talking about was a symbol of sadaqah, giving and being generous. She says, so she was the first to follow the Prophet ﷺ, and she was the one who used to love giving sadaqah. And so this is another of the qualities of Zainab bin Jahsh. She was known to be very generous and, you know, in giving sadaqah. An example of how much she would give in sadaqah, one day, and this is in the khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab, Umar radiallahu an, he sent her 12,000 dirhams. 12,000 dirhams. And this was something that he did for all of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would, you know, send them something for themselves to basically live by. So she says, may Allah have mercy on Umar. Couldn't he find some of my other sisters to distribute this wealth? So she thought that Umar radiallahu anhu was giving it to her to distribute it among the poor. So she was told, no, Umar radiallahu anhu has sent this for you as a gift for you, not to distribute. So then what did she do? She ended up distributing all of it to the poor and the needy. She ended up distributing all of it to the poor and the needy, and she only kept very little for herself. And then she said, O Allah, do not allow any more gifts to come to me from Umar after this year. It is mentioned that when she passed away, her family did not find a single coin in her house. They didn't find a single coin in her house. Also, Zainab radiallahu anha was one of the two wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who refrained from ever making Hajj again after the farewell Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for Hajj in the 10th year of the Hijrah, shortly before he passed away, and he took with him all of his wives. And we previously mentioned which other wife said that she would never make Hajj again. No, it was not Aisha. We mentioned this. It was? Yes. Sauda bint Zam'a. That Hajj with the Prophet ﷺ was very difficult for her. Due to her age, she was very old. She was in her 60s at that time. And also, she had a very large build. She was heavy. So she said, I'm never going to make Hajj again. I've made it with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's sufficient. As for Zainab bint Jahsh, her reason was due to how she interpreted the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the farewell Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his wives. He said to them, "This," meaning this Hajj, "is for you. Afterwards, stay at home. Afterwards, stay at home." Now, the other wives understood from this that the Prophet ﷺ was telling them that this is your Hajj of Islam. This is your obligatory Hajj that you have made with me. And you don't have to make Hajj again. You've done your Hajj. But they did not understand from this that they were not allowed to make Hajj voluntarily, like a Nafil Hajj. But Zainab radiallahu anha, what she understood from this statement was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling them, "That's it, you've made Hajj, now stay at home, don't make Hajj again." And so she never made Hajj after that ever again. And in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he would not allow the wives of the Prophet ﷺ to make Hajj in the beginning, but later on he allowed them. Later on, towards the end of his Khilafah, he allowed them, and it was him who took them along with Uthman radiallahu anhu. They took them for Hajj, as we said, with the exception of Sauda and Zainab bint Jahsh. Now, Zainab radiallahu anha, she ended up passing away in the year 20 or 21 of the Hijrah. So this would make her the first of his wives, the first of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to join him, as he foretold, you know, as he himself mentioned in that hadith that we mentioned. So this was approximately 10 years after his death. Approximately 10 years after his death. And at this time, Zainab radiallahu anha was about 53 years old. And at the time of her death, Umar, it was in the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anha, he gave instructions that no one should accompany her, meaning her body, except her mahrams. Except her mahrams. Why? So that no one would see the shape of her body. Remember that this is the first time a wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away after his death. Right? These are no average women. We're talking about the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're talking about Ummahatul Mu'mineen. They have a different status than all the other women. And Umar radiallahu an, you know, he took this status seriously and he wanted to respect them. And this is the first time we have one of his wives who is passing away. So he gave instructions, no one should accompany the funeral and the body. No one should take it out to the graveyard. So Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha, Asma bint Umays, she was one of the early Muslims who made hijrah to Abyssinia. She came to Umar radiallahu anhu and she said, "Shall I not tell you something that the people of Abyssinia would do with their women, you know, when they would die?" So he said, "Tell me." So she went and she brought a frame, like, a frame that would go over the bier. And she placed it over the bier. And then she covered it with a piece of cloth. And then she covered it with a piece of cloth. So Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw this, he liked the idea. You know, he said, "Ma ahsanahu wa ma astarahu." You know, what a beautiful idea this is. It's, you know, covering, not allowing us to see anything. And so then he told everyone, now everyone come out to bury your mother, meaning this is your mother, the mother of the believers. And it was from then on that this is how women would be covered for their janazah, right? From then on, this is how the women would be covered in Islam. So this was a sunnah that was started by Umar radiallahu an, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us instructions to follow his sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen al-Mahdiyeen, the rightly guided Khulafa after him, and Umar radiallahu an is one of them. So this practice was started, and until this very day, if you go to Muslim countries, in fact, if you were to go to Mecca and see the bodies when they are brought for janazah, after every salah there's a janazah, and sometimes multiple bodies are brought, you can tell which one is a man and which one is a woman just by looking at the shape. So there's an oval shape, a bit elevated over the bodies of women. This is to protect them and to not allow anyone to see their shape. And so this was the story of Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha. We will suffice with this, and we'll continue next week on to another one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.